Anybody else visiting would like to be recognized? All right. Jim, Pat, you got guests? She had her head down. She doesn't want to be recognized, I can tell. Your shy daughter. Welcome. Anybody else? All right, get up and say hello to somebody.
Will you join me in our opening prayer? Great art thou, O Lord, and greatly be praised. Great is thy power, and thy wisdom is infinite. Thee would we praise without ceasing. Thou callest us to delight in thy praise, for thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they found rest in thee, to whom with the Son and the Holy Ghost all glory, praise, and honor be ascribed, both now and evermore. Amen. Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, I should like for all the boys and girls to come forward. Would you come? come right on in. And how are you all today? Are you good? Great. Have you all ever seen anybody, or has anybody ever stuck their hand out like that to you and wanted to shake your hand? Have you ever seen that done? Let's see if you know what to do. Yes, good job. What about yourself? Great. Other one. That's a way. Good to see you. Morning. And how are you? Now, what we just did is a very, very, very old custom. That's what people have done way back before Jesus was ever born. It's true. Now, in times of the Roman people, and they ruled the world when Jesus was born, this is how you shook hands. Stick your hand out. Back then, the hand was considered part of the forearm, so they would shake hands like this. You grab mine. This is how they would do it. You like that? That's how the Romans would shake hands, because the hand was considered all the way up to here and not just this part of the arm. So let's shake hands. Grab my forearm. That's it. Jenna, thank you. One more. Good job. That's the right arm. Good job. Good deal. Now, when you shake hands with somebody way back in olden times, it meant that your sword hand, which is usually your right hand, only about 10% of the people in the world then and now are left-handed. Are you all left-handed? Anybody? Right-handed or left-handed? Right-handed? 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 100% of us. Any left-handed people out there? One, two, three, four. That's less than 10%, boys and girls, because 10% is one out of 10. Well, you see, that's a symbol when you stick your arm out like this and you grab like that. That means my sword is not in my arm, in my hand or my arm. I'm not going to stick you with it. So that's what this means, all right? It means you want to be open, just the hand this time. So you shake hands. Boys and girls, to shake hands means it is a symbol of community. You're friends. Now, suppose somebody sticks their hand out and you don't shake hands. What does that mean? You have any idea what it means if you stick your hand out and you don't shake my hand? It means you don't want to be my friend. That means you're mad at me. That means there is no community, there's no communion, there's no joy, there's no happiness, and no communication. That's why now, when you see somebody shake hands, that means they are open to have communication with you and they want to be your friend. We in the church, we practice community. We practice the communion of the saints. Okay? Let's have our prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for a handshake. Thank you for letting us know that handshaking has been around even before Jesus came. Let us always remember it is a sign of openness. And let us be open to each other. For we are all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Amen. And thank you all for coming up. You have a list of the people. Prayer concerns listed there in the bulletin. I call all of them to your attention. Cassie just mentioned that the little girl who was in the intensive care unit of Children's Hospital, she's been able to go home. So we are delighted for that news and that information. I had a very excellent friend to die after 5 or 6 months in Vanderbilt's intensive care unit. He died last week, and I have a service at 2 o'clock this afternoon in Knoxville. So Ed Paisley is his name. Sally is his wife, and Jordan is his 26-year-old, very lovely daughter, champion swimmer out of Georgia Southern. So these are wonderful people. Ed had a very rare form of leukemia, and it took his life the first of the week. So keep the Paisley family in your prayers, if you would. Shall we now go to the Lord in prayer? Let us pray. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise the Lord for life itself. Praise God for the church, and most specifically for this congregation of the church. Thank you for the ability to praise you, O Lord. Thank you for the willingness to hear our prayers. And today we are grateful for all the blessings of life. Things that we take for granted, for example, the beautiful area in which we live, we praise your name for that. For the lovely weather that we have been having this week, part of last week, we're grateful for that. For the joy of beautiful blue skies and occasionally billowing white clouds. Thank you for these and all other blessings. But most of all, we thank you for the love of Christ, which allows us to live and move and have our being with each other, which allows us to see the magnificent joy and participate in that joy of salvation, which the Christ freely has given to all of us in all of the world. Thank you for opportunities to witness to that love. And part of our privilege of witnessing to the love is to remember each other in prayer. There are many folks who need our prayer. Some are listed in the bulletin. Be with the Paisley family, whom I just mentioned. Bless our country. Bless the leaders of our country. You know the secrets of their hearts. And you know that they see and understand things that we do not. Bless, O Lord, the leaders of the world. There's so many things in the world that would divide us, that would tear your people apart. Instead of looking for divisive things and celebrating them, let us look for the things that pull us together. Let us learn to see the love of Christ everywhere, that we can celebrate that love. Bless us, O Lord, and keep us faithful members of your holy church. All these things we pray in the name of the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh,
Let us continue our worship with the giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. Praise and thanksgiving belong to you, O Lord, for all of your bounteous blessings. We give you thanks for the opportunity to give a portion of the blessings that you've let us enjoy back to you for work here in this congregation and throughout this church's ministry and mission in the world. Amen. You may be seated. Before we get started with the reading of the scriptures, I'd just like to take a note or a minute of personal privilege to compliment our musicians. You and I know very well we've got some excellent musicians here, but to hear Wayne turn loose on the first hymn where his fingers just fly everywhere, not everybody can do that. How many of you out there can do that up here? That's what I thought. And Allison, beautiful work on the flute. Now, did you hear what I heard? These people got together, Wayne with the flute stop on the organ and Allison with a real live flute, and they would work in an antiphonal way because you'd hear one, then you'd hear the other one, and they're coming from different angles. So you say, oh my goodness, we got more than one flutist in the congregation? Yeah, actually we do. One's on the organ and the other's behind the organ. But notice how they blended things together so beautifully. Well done. And the choir? Did you have anybody at practice this Wednesday night?
We did.
And look at what they're doing. And we got two men back there. Larry, good job. Where'd you get your recruit?
He came in from the military. He's on leave, but he'll be gone soon.
Well, you tell the military we need you worse than they do.
That's right.
But it's a special time with these musicians that we have, and I simply want to compliment all of them. And I think what I want you to do, you know, there are many ways to show appreciation. When we're in a theater or at a ball game, that means we're being entertained and we clap. But in a church, it's not entertainment. What they do is not to entertain you, but to offer something to God, which allows you to cast your thoughts into an appreciation mode to thank God for them and for their talent. So the church's way of affirmation is really, really old. It's an amen. All the way back into the Old Testament. So let's show our appreciation of their offerings to God by resounding amens. You got one in you? That's not good enough. Come on. That's one more time.
Amen.
All right. Very good. And they still need more choir members.
Yes.
Did I do well?
You did.
Now you're very much appreciated. A resounding amen. Now the scripture today, as we continue our study with the phrases and sentences in the Apostles' Creed, comes from a very famous chapter of Paul's writings, Romans 12, verses 1 through 21. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another and do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Shall we bow in prayer? Thank you, O God, for this beautiful chapter, for having St. Paul be inspired to the point that he could pen such lovely phrases that instruct all of us. Be with us as this sermon is preached and heard, and may your word be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. And so we continue our examination on the theology behind the phrases of the Apostles' Creed. Yes, we're just about finished, and then we'll go back to the lectionary preaching. Last Sunday, of course, we spoke to the phrase, I believe, in the Holy Catholic Church. And at the end of the sermon, I mentioned three things that the church did. It's educate the generation as well as those present. In generation that's coming, worship is something only a church does. You may have all kinds of organizations that take care of mission, but worship is unique to the church. And of course, service to each other. It's a lovely church here. I'm so impressed with how you look after your sick and your bereaved. You're always calling, you're taking, sending food, inquiring of each other, have you heard, etc. Such a mark of a wonderful church. Now, one big thing a church does is have what's called the communion of the saints. And that is our sentence for the day. I believe in the communion of saints. Your Greek word for communion is koinonia. It is a great and powerful word in the Greek, and it goes all the way back to the early Greek writers, Plato and Aristotle. Koinonia was a big thing with those Greek pagan writers. Koinonia, quite frankly, means fellowship. It means communication. It means depth communication. It means sharing. It means working together. You know what it's like to have a wonderful team at work where you can rely on each other and where you pick up slack for somebody that's not feeling well that day, and so you make sure the work gets done by saying, you go sit down, I know you've got a headache, you don't look that good. Yeah, I know, I'm going about 40% today. Well, I'll pick up part of the slack, don't worry about it. You've done that, so have I. This is part of what's meant by koinonia, communion. Husbands and wives do this all the time, and their families will do that too, where you back up each other, where you look after the needs, where you celebrate successes, and where you help folks who have fallen. Weep with those who weep, is what St. Paul points out. Communion of saints. Now that's an interesting word. Hagion in the Greek. The communion of saints. Now, what in the world is a saint? We've got a gazillion saints in the Roman Catholic Church. If you look at any given day, the holy day or feast day of St. Patrick, for example, 17th of March. Well, that may be St. Patrick's Day, but there's probably another 20 people who have that day too. Saint such and such, Saint so and so, and Saint, I can't even pronounce the name, person. So you have many, many people designated saints in the Roman Catholic Church. Well, certainly that's the mother church, but for John Wesley and for us Methodists, a saint is a person who is striving every day to be more like Jesus. And when you and I strive to be like Jesus, for Wesley's thinking, for Methodist reflection, we are saints. We are saints together. And when we fellowship as a church, that is indeed the communion of saints. So consider yourself a saint if you are trying to be more like Jesus. Anybody out here trying to be more like Jesus? I know a lot of us are trying. That's what my mom always told me. You're very trying, son. But how many are, quit laughing. But how many are trying to be more like Jesus? Anybody? I'm trying to be more like Jesus. And we're saints, according to Wesleyan thought. Now, when we have communion, it's something that we do when we celebrate our friendship, before service and after service. And it's something else that we do when, like next Sunday, we have the sacrament of Holy Communion. Now, dear friends, this is very powerful. The sacrament, the body and the blood of Jesus, instituted by Jesus on the night that he was betrayed and carried on by Christians throughout all of eternity and certainly tomorrow, I mean next Sunday. I'll be preparing for the service beginning tomorrow where we celebrate the sacrament. The sacrament, two of them in the Methodist Church, baptism and Holy Communion, those are the things that actually Jesus did or had done in his life here. Roman Catholics have seven, but since the Protestant Reformation, most Protestants only have two. But this reflects and this testifies to a continuum of communion with people who are deceased. Now, this week, especially yesterday morning, was extremely heavy for me. I dreaded meeting and having breakfast with the Paisleys. I'd known Jordan since she was 8 years old. And Sally and Ed. This was a tremendous family. Every time they would be seen together, you could see love just exuding from all of them. So I went there, not because I wanted to, because I'm God's person. I have to represent God in every situation, especially those that are uncomfortable. Who's going to do it if not ordained and called people like yourself? So we ate breakfast. Tears in those eyes. And I was there to tell them that you don't want Ed the way he was. His poor body just wasted away. And I said, do you think leukemia took Ed away or just his body? And then they began to smile. Nothing could kill Ed Paisley. Now keep this in mind. These people are recently bereaved, but yet they affirm something profound that St. Paul talks about in an earlier chapter of Romans, Romans chapter number 8. He asks the question rhetorically, what can separate us from the love of God? In Romans 8, go back and read it if you wish, 38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So my task as a pastor was to shift that lovely family, the survivors, away from a physical loss to remembering that the love of Christ is the common denominator between them and their dear husband and father, and the communion of the saints was something they could begin to think about and to enjoy. Dear friends, either we believe this stuff that we learned in Sunday school and from the pulpit, or we don't. We believe that there is a whole cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The writer of Hebrews continues talking about a cloud of witnesses. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect, unto Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Now, friends, we're talking about two different understandings of communion of saints. One is earthly. That's us. The communion of saints, that we care about each other. You can see this, especially when there are crises in the world. I have been so impressed, and have shared perhaps with you, how unique it was when church members from one of my previous churches, well, Church Street, they would go down to New Orleans in order to muck out houses. As they went with their work clothes on, those poor people whose houses and everything there have been floated away, mudded over, whatever, they didn't ask the question, are you Methodist? Are you Christian? Are you Jewish? No, not at all. What happened was they opened their doors and said, thank you for coming. It wasn't an issue of beliefs. It was issues of doing. And so there they were, being the communion of saints to people they never met before. And that's what we're supposed to do. We build that community. Even people that are our enemies, we're to do good to them that persecute. Now, this is something we don't want to remember, but it's in here. And I think it's important that we remember it, that we are to remember that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And do good to those dear folks that persecute you. And in that way, here's an interesting something. In that way, you will heap burning coals upon their heads. Now, taken on a prima facie level, you would say, well, good, they're going to roast their brains. That'll work. That's one way to get them. But what's going on in that culture is, even if your enemy knocks on your door and says, my hearth has gone out. I need a live coal from you so that I can live. And the custom was, even if your enemy came to you in need of coals to start their fire again, you were obligated to give them at least one coal. St. Paul is saying, on top of their head, where is the carrier for the live coals, plenty of insulation, I'm sure, is the carrier for the live coals, you put more than a single coal in that carrier that goes on their head. And that's where they would carry it. You heap burning coals on your enemy's head because I'll take care of the vengeance. Now, folks, sometimes it's hard for us to live after the example of Romans chapter 12. But when we affirm that we believe in communion of saints, that's what we're saying. Communion of people who are trying to be like Jesus. But it also means, since nothing separates us from the love of Christ, that through the medium and power of love, we commune with those folks that have already died, who are being made perfect. That means complete. Doesn't mean flawless necessarily, but complete. Who are doing all they can. They, in the words of the army, be all you can be. And these folks have died, and they continue moving from grace to grace as God works with them to become closer to God's throne of grace. They still surround us. And I told to Sally and to Jordan, I says, now listen, my friends who are the psychologists say that you need to have closure. I respect them mightily. But I want to suggest that you do not want to have closure with your dad's passing, your husband's passing. It will always haunt you. You will always miss him. And you don't want not to miss him. Are you all with me? Many years after my daddy died, I asked Mama, do you still miss Daddy? And she says, oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's not a night that passes that I don't reach for him in the bed and he's not there. And that hurts. But what she did, she's gone too. But what she did was remember that the bond that they had of Christian love is a continuum that still connects them, that still have communion through the Spirit of Jesus, even though Dad was gone. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And that is our hope. That is where I'm going in the funeral meditation this afternoon. And that's what we will do as I work with them to grieve, not as those who have no hope, but to grieve as those who do have hope. Because they will always remember the love that Ed shared. And he still shares through the love of Jesus. And they will always love him too. So when we say we believe in communion of the saints, that means yes, right here and now, but also the cloud of witnesses who have already gone before and are sleeping, resting in peace, and still loving through Jesus the ones of us that are still on the journey. That is our Easter faith. That is what we believe when we say, I believe in the communion of saints. Your ticket into that body of saints is keep striving to be like Jesus and move onward from grace to grace to grace. Now, one more thing regarding the function of the church. Remember, I mentioned the function was education last Sunday. Education, worship, and service. Churches have the opportunity to be so practiced in Romans chapter 12 that we give to the world an example of how to love one's enemies without sticking them in the back or cutting their head off. And one of the great failures of the church has been, instead of us as a church giving to the world an example of how people can disagree, sometimes viciously, and still love. Disagree, but still love. The society at large has not seen that in churches. Churches can tear each other apart as viciously as political people can, because all politics is the science and art of working with people. But in the church, there's more going on than politics. It's an example to how to deal with conflict. That, dear friends, is our challenge. That, dear friends, is our task. So next Sunday, we're going to practice the sacrament of Holy Communion. Many, many churches have gone to the popular way of receiving the sacrament. We won't change a thing next Sunday, but sometime sooner than later, I do want us to change. What we usually do in this and many other churches, I've seen it all over the place. That's terribly sad. We are so accustomed to drive-by eating, fast foods, if you will, that we line up and we go through the fast food line and get our little piece of bread and our slurp of grape juice, and then we get on about our business. When this church was built 50 years ago, they had some things right here. What's this woodwork for right here? What's that step right there for? John Weichel and the architects, they knew what to do, didn't they? Do you all know what that's for? Of course you do. And so what we do when we practice the communion of the saints with the sacrament of Holy Communion is not drive-by. No, we are practicing for the heavenly banquet where we are at Jesus' table and where he comes and where he gives us the heavenly meal. So a practice session is what the sacrament of Holy Communion is. It's showing God, we're getting ready, folks. We're getting ready, and I don't want to drive by heaven, do you? I want to sit there and banquet with Jesus. So I want to get that in your thinking. Everything is a snack and a goodbye. Let's start thinking a little bit more deeply and realize the great traditions of the church and who we are. And let's work on giving all of society a microcosm of how we can disagree with each other and not have a massive falling out. Think we can handle that? No, we can't. Not without the grace of God. We rely everything. We are everything we have on the grace of God. He can help us if we're willing, because it's God's church. It's his communion, communion of the saints. So next Sunday, sacrament of Holy Communion, we'll do a drive-by this next Sunday because you're used to it. But we will also work on a time when we will kneel. And we'll dismiss the tables and go back in our tradition, which is here. I can see it. So can you. You remember. And of course, if you can't kneel, stand. But the main thing is to come before the altar table and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. And you receive the grace administered to you, and then you go forth into the world to witness to that gracious Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of dedication and our hymn of invitation is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. It's number 474 and also on the screen. There may be those individuals in our church that would, in our congregation, who would like to unite in the fellowship of the church. Others, perhaps, who would like to reaffirm their faith in Christ. Still others who would like to ask for special prayer. If you would come as we sing this magnificent hymn of the faith, we'd be very pleased to honor your request. Let's stand.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
In peace, dear people of God, go forth in joy and thanksgiving, for we truly appreciate, enjoy, and seek to further the ancient belief of communion of saints. Go and be good saints in the Lord Jesus.